Man, would you take your Bibles, please? The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. Nehemiah, chapter number 2. If you'll turn to Genesis and make a hard right, you'll come to the book of Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Psalms. What a blessing to be in church. Thank you for having us, Pastor. I want to say thank you for that good message. I've enjoyed the singing. Thank God for the good singing. And thank you for the hospitality and taking care of us and hosting the meeting. I want to be in Nehemiah chapter number 2. I know exactly what time it is. I'm not going to wear you out. We've been here a good bit. I do want to show you something in the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter number 2, and beginning in verse number 1, I'm going to read down to verse number 8. Keep your Bible handy. Just going to show you a few things tonight before we go. I don't usually preach to preachers. Preaching to preachers is like marrying a redhead. It's either really good or really bad. And I'm normally not willing to take that gamble. But I do have on my heart a message along those lines. If you're not a preacher, chances are you know one. Help me, somebody. You probably have one. And so let's look together in this passage. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Chapter 2 and verse number 1. I'll get it right in a minute. Got a touch of dyslexia. Anybody else? Dyslexics untie. Anybody? No? Yes. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Hallelujah. Don't you love your Bible? Pray with me tonight and pray for me. All right, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the gathering together of the people of God tonight. Help us now. Take us by the hand and walk us through the pages of your Bible. And we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to notice with me here in Nehemiah, I'm going to skip all of the introductory thoughts, you're welcome, except for three. I'd like to mention three things by way of introduction in this particular chapter. I want you to see, first of all, the burden that Nehemiah carried. The Bible said that his countenance was sad. Now, there's a problem here, because the Bible said it had not been aforetime sad in the king's presence. You see, it was an illegal offense to enter into the presence of the king with a sad countenance. In fact, it was a crime punishable by death according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not, that you would be put to death if you were to enter into the presence of the king with a sad countenance. That's why Nehemiah was very sore afraid. Somebody say amen. And he was afraid because something was happening on the inside of him, but he could not hide from everybody on the outside. Am I right about it? Listen, have you ever had news hit you so hard that it affected everything about you? This disruption of his life happens in verse chapter number 1 when his brother comes and certain brethren and gives him news of Jerusalem, how the Bible said the walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. I don't want to labor the introduction too much, but I'll say this. What bothered Jeremiah was not only the fact that they were totally without protection, without the walls and the gates, but there's a spiritual significance to the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter number 60, I think it's verse 16, but your guess is as good as mine. Thank you, coronavirus. Amen. But here's what it does say. It says, thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Do you know that the walls of Jerusalem represent salvation and the gates represent praise? The enemy had come in and broken down the walls of salvation and burned the gates of praise. And there was no salvation in the city of God. There was no praise in the city of God. And that burdened Nehemiah. It burdened him so heavily. The condition of the church. Oh, I need somebody to go with me tonight. The condition of the church. It burdened him so heavily that it affected him in the presence of the king. Now, I want you to see this, that the king did not punish him by death. Help me, somebody. Oh, the king's an observant king. Help me, somebody. In fact, you come around, and if you look at this particular chapter, it looks like the king is not interested in operating by the letter of the law, but rather by grace. Hallelujah. Because he slips his arm around Nehemiah's neck and said, there's something wrong with you, son. He said, I can tell you're not sick. There's something going on. Tell me about it. And he had a burden. Nehemiah had a burden about the condition of Jerusalem. Notice the battle that he caused. I'm skipping one. Dr. Stephen Olford, in his anointed expository preaching, said that the order of discovery does not necessarily have to be the order of delivery. So I'm skipping number 2 because I'm going to preach it in a minute, and I'm going to give you number 3 in the introduction. Are y'all up to speed on what's going on around here? First of all, the burden that Nehemiah carried. Number three, the battle that Nehemiah caused. Look at your Bible at verse number 10. And when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. My brother preached it excellently a while ago, that there is a battle raging. I love that verse in Jeremiah. Hey, we ought not be scared. Use our sword. Somebody say amen. We didn't draw the line in the sand. It was here when we got here. Help me, somebody. It'll be here when we're gone. It's on us. It's on us to hold the ropes tight to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Amen. Somebody didn't like it. Folks didn't like it when they got into fixing up. Wanted to build the walls back. Help me, somebody. Oh, yes. Yes. Folks didn't like it when they wanted to build the walls back. I ain't been watching Fox News, honey. I've been reading the Bible. Folks got mad at him when they wanted to build the walls back and put the gates back and set things in order. Interesting. Brother Melton, the book of Nehemiah is naturally divided into two sections. Chapters 1 through 7 have to deal with rebuilding of the walls, while chapter 8 through chapter 13 deals with reestablishing the worship. Now, isn't it interesting that God wanted the wall built before the worship to begin? Oh, I need somebody to help me tonight. I'm about to, y'all, please help me. I'm about to drive back to Alabama. I got 4 hours I'm looking at, so come on. Here's what God said. Before there ever's going to be a prayer prayed, before there's ever going to be a song sung, before there's ever going to be a sermon preached, before anybody ever lifts a hand in worship, I want that wall back. I want things set in order. I want that wall back, and I want them gates up. First, the burden that Nehemiah carried, the battle that Nehemiah caused. I wish I had time to take you to chapter 6. A full-scale attack. First they wanted to make fun of him and said if a fox jumped up on that wall, it'd knock it down. And lo and behold, that wall went up. Help me, somebody. That wall went up and they got mad about it. And they said, come now. Let us meet in one of the plain of Ono. And let us reason together. But they thought to do me mischief. He launched an all-out assault. That battle that Nehemiah caused, he didn't know that day when he signed up to leave and go back to just do something for the glory of God that he'd be working with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. Hey, God, give us a generation of warrior workers who will work with one hand and war with the other hand and build with one hand and battle with the other hand. The battle that Nehemiah caused. This is what I'll preach on just for the next few minutes. The blessing that Nehemiah craved. Not only was it illegal, a crime punishable by death, to enter into the king's presence with a sad countenance, but nobody, and I mean nobody, have you ever read the book of Esther? You don't go into the king's presence without him inviting you into the king's presence. And you don't dare ask him for anything. She wondered, would he raise the golden scepter? Help me, somebody. I ain't got time to teach Sunday school for y'all. He's asking for something from the king. Look at it. I like this. Verse number 5, if it please the king, thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah. Hallelujah. Unto the city of my father's sepulchres that I may build it. He said, king, there's a need, and I want to go do it. I ain't going without your say. Help me, somebody. Hey, hallelujah. Old Nehemiah wasn't going to run unsent. There was a man sent from God whose name is John. How can they preach except they be sent? Help me, somebody. Nehemiah had a good job. He had a good job, honey. He made a good living. He had a comfortable life, even if it was in a strange land. He didn't volunteer. Help me, somebody. It wasn't because he couldn't get a job at Walmart and announce smiley face stickers. It wasn't because he couldn't join the military. Honey, God burdened his heart. God called him into the ministry. He wasn't going to do it without the king say so. Help me, somebody. And they came to an agreement. And it pleased the king. And the king said, go. Here's where it gets kind of hairy for Nehemiah. He's pushing his luck. He's the king's butler, by the way. He's the cup bearer. Do y'all know what that means? Somebody's always trying to poison the king. Help me, somebody. Guess whose job it was to make sure it wasn't poison? Nehemiah. Drink this, see if he dies. That's his job. Huh? Ain't that a blessing? Man like that, I could. God said I use him in the ministry. Amen. You don't know, Pastor, these days like digging through a landmine field. Amen. Huh? Let me just say this in passing. I don't have a complaint. But how would you like it if every time somebody got sick, somebody got mad at you? Every time somebody died, somebody got mad at you. Every time somebody quit church, somebody got mad at you. Every time somebody got mad at you, somebody got mad at you. Oh, help me, somebody. Do y'all know that October was Pastor Appreciation Month? How many of y'all knew that? Raise your hand. I pastored 18 years. I had no idea there was an October Pastor Appreciation Month. That's all right. Hey, that's all right. That's all right. It just so happens that November is Evangelist Appreciation Month. Let the good times roll. What's the date? Yeah, you think I'm making it up, honey? By the way, I'll take cash, checks, credit card, American Express, traveler's checks, WIC vouchers, food stamps, EBT cards, diamond rings, car keys, bass boats, trolling motors, fishing rods, tackle. I'll take firearms and ammunition, cowboy boots. Just drop it in the plate. I'll take taters. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's Evangelist Appreciation Month. I'm glad October's over. Praise God. I'm about sick of that. Amen. Look at verse 7. Old Nehemiah, he going out on a limb now. He going out on a limb, y'all. It's just where the fruit grows. He said, verse 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given unto me. You know what Nehemiah said? He said, King, I sure do appreciate your kindness. Thank you for your generosity in letting me go. Thank you for your word. Help me, somebody. But I tell you what I need. I tell you what I need. I need something I can hold in my hand. I need something tangible. After all, I get down there, somebody's going to say, who in the world? Help me, somebody. Who around here died and made you leader of this outfit? Because I'm going to need something. I'm going to need something I can hold, something I can put my eyes on. He said, you know what, King? Thank you for telling me. Thank you, but oh, it'd be good. It sure would be good if I had something written down. Oh, no, 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 I'm not going to write it. I need it to be in your writing. Help me, somebody. And tell you what I really need is I need some letters from the king. Something I can hold in my hand. Something I can cast my eyes on. Can I get a tiny little witness? Nehemiah said, if I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it right, I'm going to have something with some authority. I'm going to have something. I'm going to have something I can show somebody that I didn't make this up. I didn't volunteer for this. I'm going to have something I can open up. Hallelujah. I want to preach for just a few minutes on letters from the king. Old Nehemiah got what he wanted, and the king gave him letters. Don't you know them letters became his prized possession? He liked them letters better than he liked his best horse. Can I get a witness? He liked them letters. Every time you see Nehemiah, every spare moment that he had, he was thumbing through them letters. I'd see him with them, holding them, and first thing in the morning, he'll reach and get them and read over them letters a little bit, just first thing in the morning, just to get reacquainted with words from the king. Somebody help me. Oh, Nehemiah, all through the day, as busy as life was, I'd see him take a time out every now and then and get them letters out, look on them one more time every night before he goes to bed. He just want to remind himself after a long day of working and warring. He want to be reminded of something that the king said. I'm going to give you four reasons Nehemiah wanted letters. Is that all right? It could have been. I know it's more than three, but it's less than five. It could have been 12. Oh, you ain't going to believe how quick I'm done. I'm almost done now. Number one, these letters were for permission. If it pleased the king, he said, I'm not going on my own word. I'm not going just because there's a need. I never will forget, Brother Michael, a missionary from China, a young lady. She was an English teacher. She was going to China. And she made this statement. She come by our church on a Wednesday night. Our pastor used to bring missionaries in. We had one a month, as long as I can remember, he'd bring missionaries in. And I met this young woman, came in and gave her presentation. She was going to China. She made this statement. She said, there's more people in China than anywhere else in the world. I thought, whoa, there's more people dying and going to hell from China. There's more people dying and going to hell from China and India than anywhere else in the world. Help me, somebody. I told my wife, I went back to the house that night and I said, pack your bags. We're going to China. Help me, somebody. Hey, yeah, I meant what I said. The next month, he had another missionary in. That missionary's name was Mac Locklear. He was going to Jamaica. He said they need Jesus down in Jamaica. I went home and told my wife, I said, pack your bags. We're going to Jamaica. She said, I thought we was going to China. I said, we will. But then after that, we're going to Jamaica, so don't get settled. Help me, somebody. It's happened every other month. It happened every month. Help me, somebody. Hey, and I got to realizing that just because there's a need, that don't mean I'm supposed to go. Just because there's a need, that don't mean I'm supposed to go. Honey, I want permission from the king. I want to have something I can hold in my hand. I want something I can put my eyes on. I want to be able to have a verse I can point to let me know that's what God wants me to do. I resigned my church in 2013 because God told me to. It was not a blessing. And I ain't even going to joke about it. It wasn't a blessing. Help me, somebody. We had a deacon's meeting too. First and ever. Whole time I'd been there, they said, we're going to have a deacon's meeting. I said, I'll meet you in heaven. I said, we're going to have church. Help me, somebody. I said, we're going to have a vote. I said, yeah, we'll vote on never voting again. I said, find it in the Bible and we'll have votes. Oh, help me, Jesus. Now do you know why I'm an evangelist? It's a Greek word. It means they won't give me a church. I can't say that I blame them. I resigned my church in 2013. And for 2 years, I didn't know what God was doing. I was preaching too much to get a job. But I wasn't preaching enough to be considered an evangelist. I wasn't preaching enough to be considered a preacher. And I got, and everybody asked me, they'd ask me, said, what are you going to do? You going to pastor again? You going to start a church? You going to be a missionary? You going to be an evangelist? You got 5 kids. Y'all just be a missionary. Halfway there now. I did start a children's home. They're my children. But we did, feed the hungry children. They're all Stilners. They're hungry. I tried to wean them off of food, but the less I give them, the more they want. I'm trying to get to the point. God, give me half a verse. I can count on one hand the times God's transitioned me in my ministry, and every time he's given me a Bible verse, and I could take you to the Bible verse right now. The most recent one was when I resigned my church. After I'd resigned and everybody was asking me what was I going to do, I didn't know what to tell them. I didn't know what to tell folks. I wouldn't let them call me an evangelist because I didn't really know what that meant. And I didn't know what God was going to do. And so they'd ask me, and I asked God, I said, what am I going to tell them? And he showed me Genesis 13:14. And it says, the first part of that verse says, and the Lord God said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. You know, verse number 10 said Lot lifted up his eyes. We know how that went. Somebody say amen. So I decided this was going to be my motto. I refuse to choose. People would call me and they'd say, hey, I heard about this church over here. Needs a pastor. You want me to put your name in? I said, I don't care what you do. Help me, somebody. If somebody invited me to a birthday party, I'd go thinking I may bump into the will of God and at least I'm going to get cake. That's how I lived.
It's how I live now. You don't know why I'm here? You don't know why I'm here? It ain't because I put on Facebook, hey, I'm going to be in the North America area this Sunday. If anybody has a pulpit, I'd sure like to come. Yeah. How we broke down on anything today. If I was having a bad day, I wouldn't tell nobody. Help me, somebody. Suffering silence. Well, y'all got me preaching on something else now. Anyhow, I'm here because he called me. Amen. Only reason. And anyhow, God gave me that verse. I refuse to choose. I said, I'm going to keep my head down until God says lift it up. And that went on for 2 years. That's the last thing God said to me for 2 years. I couldn't hear from God for 2 years. Help me, somebody. I'd pray to sound like God, felt like God wasn't listening. I'd flip through my Bible looking for God to give me something, and the Bible looked like it was all blank. Has anybody ever been there? Oh, I was trying to find the will of God. You want me to start a church? I done surrendered to every mission field on the planet. I didn't care where it went. I signed the bottom of a blank contract and told him to fill out the details. Just let me know when I need to go. Help me, somebody. But I didn't know nothing. Pastor called me and said, hey, I'm going to Albania. And he said, you want to go? I said, I'd love to. The only problem is I don't have $1,500 for a plane ticket. Amen. He said, no, you don't understand. I've got to go, and I'm not going by myself. My church is going to take care of it. I said, let me check my calendar. Yes, I have those days open. Huh? Brother Larry, I said, all right, God. You're slick. I know what you want me to do now. I surrendered. At that very moment, as soon as I got off the phone with that pastor, I surrendered to be a missionary to Albania. I said, oh, you're pretty slick. Took you long enough, but you know, I understand you in time. You know, a day ain't 1,000 years for Brother Bud. Can I get a witness? I said, you're slick. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell nobody. I didn't tell that preacher I was with. We drove through that country and I decided, all right, God, here. What about here? What about here? I learned the word for rent, and I was looking at storefront buildings that were for rent in every town we went in. I said, what about this town here, Lord? What about that place there in my heart? That place there is for rent. What about that spot there? God wouldn't talk to me. I probably am only going to tell y'all this one point, and then I'm going to just close because I told you it wouldn't be long. It took a little turn I didn't expect. This is personal testimony stuff. I don't like talking about personal testimonies. They're too personal. I come here to talk about y'all. I'm almost afraid to tell you what I'm about to tell you. God wouldn't talk to me in Albania. I said, I'm surrendered. What y'all been do? God wouldn't talk to me. Wouldn't talk to me the whole time I was over there. When that plane landed in Atlanta, and when it touched down on the tarmac, anger. It's probably too much for some of y'all. Listener discretion is advised at this particular point. You may want to dismiss yourself if you're a baby Christian and you can't handle stuff, because what I'm about to tell you is for real. I touched down on that tarmac and I was back in the States, and I was back in the South. It almost came up just right then. Fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, green beans. I can control that stuff, see. I was sick to my stomach and I was mad at God. Y'all probably ain't never done this. Yes, you have. You think it, but I said it out loud. I unbuckled that seatbelt and throwed it. I said, fine. You're not going to talk to me. I'm not going to talk to you. Oh, to my shame. Brother Rochester, to my shame, I meant what I said. I wasn't going to talk to God no more. He wouldn't talk to me. For 2 years, I hadn't heard from him. And for 10 days... he wouldn't speak to me in that country I'd done surrendered to go and be a missionary in. He wouldn't talk to me. I said, if you're not going to talk to me, I'm not talking to you. And it was almost as if I had my Bible in my lap. The second half of that same verse came up. The second half of that same verse. Here's what part two says. Genesis 13, 14. And the Lord God said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thou thine eyes from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. And God spoke to my heart with that same verse 2 years later and said, I've got you doing what I want you to do. I was preaching, honey, I was preaching all over America and parts of Arkansas. Amen. I was staring at the forest looking for the trees. Huh? God said, I told you, I got you doing what I want you to do. And I got a Bible verse for it. Help me, somebody. You know what? You know what? Hey, every time it gets a little tight, every time it gets a little rough, every time I want to quit, and by the way, if you ain't never wanted to quit, you never got started. And every time it gets a little tight, every time, help me somebody, I can get that verse out. I can get that verse out, hallelujah. And God prove to me that's what he wants me to do. See, the word of God's for, it's the letters from the king. They're for permission. I'm going to mention these next ones. They're for, and they're for provision. Look at verse 8. He's going to give me everything I need. All the timber I need for everything I'm about to do. Did you know that everything you need is in that book right there? Everything you need is in that black back King James Bible you're holding in your lap. Letters from the king. Hallelujah. The provision. Huh? Well, I'm going to preach this and proof. Sanballat and Tobiah didn't like it. In fact, if you look in chapter 6 later, Sanballat had a letter of his own. Sanballat stood up and had an open letter in his hand. He had a letter too, so I got letters too. Only problem with Sanballat's letters, they didn't quite read like Nehemiah's letters. Can I get a tiny little witness? Are y'all picking up on what I'm putting down? Sanballat's letters didn't quite read like, help me somebody. Sanballat's letter didn't read like Nehemiah's letter. Nehemiah's letter had authority to it. Nehemiah's letter had a rhythm to it that Sanballat's did not have. Nehemiah's letter, there was something breathing. There was something moving on the inside of you. When you read Nehemiah's letters from the king, honey, it'd stir you up. It'd do something inside your soul. Sanballat's letter didn't do that. Didn't have that. And they said, who died and made you leader of this outfit? Huh? Authorized by the king, honey. Help me somebody. By the way, if the king ain't on it, the king ain't in it. Authorized by the king. Proof. Thank God for that. I like this last one. I'm done. I told you I was going to quit. It's for peace. Old Nehemiah, that battle would get raging every now and then. Chapter 5, they had a breakdown. Huh? The princes of Judah who were up to their no good, slimy deeds, stealing from rich, stealing from the poor people. They're already poor and they're stealing from them. Huh? And Nehemiah had to stop everything and have a business meeting. It's rough. It's hard. The preacher preached on some of that stuff. How do you like that? How do you like that? Sign up for that. Amen. Huh? You can volunteer for that, honey. You got to be called into that. You got to be called into that. And it'd get hard on Nehemiah every now and then. He'd get to battle. Had to sleep in his clothes. Because it had to be ready. That's hard. Sometimes it gets hard. And don't you know, at night he'd get over by himself in the firelight. Because there's some trouble in his soul. Huh? He'd get to reading that word of God. Huh? Excuse me. I'm talking about myself then. He'd get to reading them letters from the king. Huh? And the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace of God. Ain't that wonderful? Thank God for the word of God. You don't need to rewrite it, just need to reread it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the patience of God's good people as we've been here for quite some time. I pray you'd help us to be doers and not hearers only. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering together the people of God. Help us, I pray, to fall so in love with your word. May it be our most prized possession. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, preacher.